Well, good day to everyone, and welcome to Session 5 as we're talking about and seeing what the Word has to say about us having a willing heart. We're going to continue that discussion today, and we're going to be talking more about learning about His will for ourselves and some things that we have to do to position ourselves in that. But let's do a quick review for where we've been. We've been talking about in these last days, we've got a job to do. We see in Matthew 24, Jesus talking about and he's talking about a master coming back, and he said, when he returns or when he comes, will he find his servants so doing? So we see from that, we've got a job. But what have we seen? To do that work, we've got to be both willing and obedient, both of those things. And we saw that there is great power that comes when we are willing and obedient. We looked at the account where Jesus was walking on the water to the disciples, and when they willingly invited him in the boat, what happened? They were on the other side immediately, and those kind of miracles are available to us. Now, we've seen that in order to learn his will for us in John 7:17, that we must be willing to do his will first. Then he will disclose it to us, and really that's mercy on his part. Because then, otherwise we'd be getting assignment after assignment that we wouldn't be fulfilling. And I just think that's so merciful for him to do. We've also seen that we're not alone in this. We saw in Philippians that God is constantly putting forth his energy in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And I'm paraphrasing that. And the end state is me being Christ-like. And you're going to see that amplified today. So as we look, we know that we've been given a helper or a coach that the Father sent after Jesus had ascended to him. And that's so important because he's there alongside with us, and he's talking to us, teaching us what we need to know. We also saw in Ephesians 3:20 that God wants to get the glory, or will get the glory, when that power is working in us and we are doing things according to his will. And sometimes, and this is going to come back up again today, it may be way beyond what we've ever asked, thought, or I'll say dreamed of, and you'll understand that in a moment. Psalm 57 told us that God is accomplishing his purpose for us. It's what he's doing if we cooperate with him. He goes on in Isaiah 46:10 to says, my plan will stand, and I'll do everything I intended to. Now, the question about that is, will I be a part of that? Or will he have to get somebody else to fulfill the role that he's called me to? And then finally, in Romans 6:5, we saw where we were made to identify with him in his death, and likewise, we were raised with him in the likeness of his resurrection. So the resurrected Savior, our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, that is who we have our identity in. And that's why we can say, as he is, so are we in this world. So today, as we pursue more about his will, I want to jump in and talk about his desire for us to walk in his footsteps. Now, his being Jesus, and that's his will for us. As we said, we have a part to play in this, and I want to give you a couple of scriptures that kind of jump into that. In Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Now, most of the time, and I'll say that I have even heard this taught, people stop at that period, but that is not the end of the verse, because if we just read that, we come up with a totally wrong perception of what he's telling us in this particular scripture. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That means they won't be successful in life. They're going to have things come against them that overcome them and overwhelm them. And we are to be the overcomers. But look at the second part of that. Now we understand why they're destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. We say, I don't understand that, therefore it can't be talking about me. Or how could that possibly be? How could I do that? And what we end up doing when we take that role, instead of being willing to do what he's telling us to, then that knowledge never gets revealed to us. And I just pray that for me and for each of you, that when we stand before Jesus, there's not going to be a long list of things that he willed us to do, that we rejected that knowledge of that. I don't want that to be. So that lack of knowledge, I think, is primarily talking about the knowledge of his will for us, both as the body of Christ, but also individually. And we can see in this now how it ties into being willing. I'll say it this way. To get revelation, you've got to be willing to do what that revelation is disclosing to you. Now, Proverbs 29, verse 18. New King James, I'm going to go through several versions of this and just comment on what they say because it's so important. It says, where there is no revelation, this is New King James now, the people cast off restraint. Now let's go back to the way I heard it as a younger person when all we were reading was basically the King James. That verse says, because we have no vision, the people perish. Now, unrestrained is really a better definition of what that means. But let's talk about vision first. When we think of vision, a lot of times we think of an organization talking about where we're going, what we're going to do, what is set before our eyes to accomplish. And that is a very valid part of this. We can learn a lot about his will when we see that for a corporate body, in a church, for instance, or even in our own life. But the word actually means sight. And it also has connotations of these three words: to dream, a revelation, and an oracle. And you can see the synergy, if I can use that word, the likeness in those three. It's setting the course for his will for us for the future. So when there is no revelation, and we'll add because this is what we're talking about, of his will, then it says the people perish or are unrestrained. Now, let me read this to you in the Amplified, and then we'll talk about this perish and unrestrained. Amplified says, where there is no vision, and the parenthetical comment is no redemptive revelation of God. Redemptive being an important word, because that's who we are, the redeemed. Again, his will for our life comes in that revelation. And revelation, you've got to remember, just means an unveiling. Take away the veil so that you can see. It says the people perish. But look at the second part of this verse, which I haven't read yet. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man. Now, let's just stop there. Keeps the law of God. It's different for us today than it was when this was written in the Old Covenant. The law was what? Hundreds of laws that they had to keep. And they had to keep all of them, or yet they were guilty of them all. But Jesus really simplified it for us. What is the law that we're required to keep today? Love. And if we fulfill love, all the other laws are just naturally accomplished. So when we read this for you and I, let's just think about now. He who keeps the law of love, and then it goes on and says blessed, and then it describes what that means. Blessed means happy, fortunate, and available is he. So this is what we're talking about. And one word that's used in there, if I think I skipped, is enviable. Now, that is important because we're going to be talking about disclosing who God is. And that's the way it ought to be. When the non-church people looks at his body, they ought to see a group of people that they are desirous or have great desire to do what? To be a part of, because we're envied. You're going to see that in some scriptures momentarily. So let's go back now, once we see what we're supposed to be, to this perish word or unrestrained. The word there literally means to loosen. And it implies then to expose or to dismiss. And it's exposing, really, things that we don't have that we need to be doing. The dismiss part is interesting because it's things that he wants me to get, but I just dismiss it. And what happens when those guiding principles are not followed? Well, people go about doing what they want, unrestrained. Now, when I look at our nation today and a lot of the things are going on, boy, I can see that totally. There's no redemptive revelation. Therefore, all these anarchists are just totally unrestrained. And so this is going to place more importance on what we're talking about next today, in that for them to see there's not a plan B for God to write his name up in the sky. That plan B is you and I showing them the will of God. But what do we see here? We've got to be willing and obedient, or we're not going to have that revelation birthed inside us. Now, what are we to do? You may ask, what do I need to do? Well, I really think it's pretty simple. I need to pursue Jesus, who is the Word. So I'm getting into the Word and pursuing the Word. And all the while, I'm not forsaking the fellowship of Holy Spirit, who is called alongside to speak into my ear, to coach me how to do it, where to do it, all those things that are necessary so that I get the revelation of His will for me. Look with me then as we take another level down in this at 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Read it from two translations, First Net, New American Standard. For you have been called for this purpose. And that's really talking about what we're called to do today. Since Christ also suffered for you, so that we could be the what? The redeemed. And then it says, He's leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. So this is just another verse that we have saying where we've seen others that we're complete in Him. We are to follow in His steps. Now, I like the Amplified, the way it reads, because it just makes it a little more visionary for me. It makes it so that I can think about times at the beach and see this happening. And it says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God. And each of those words, redemptive revelation, and whose revelation? God's revelation to us. The people perish. Excuse me, I'm reading the wrong verse here. I'm looking up too high. For it's 1 Peter 2:21 again. For even to this you were called. It is inseparable to your vocation. So we have a job to do in our earthly being, but that does not mean we don't have a spiritual job to do as well. Goes on to say, for Christ suffered for you, leaving you his personal example, what he was willing to give for you and me, so that you should do what? Follow in his footsteps. And I can just see times at the beach where you're walking and the kids would get ahead of BJ and I in their footsteps, and we would just be kind of following in each other's footsteps. That's exactly how we're to be with Jesus. Now, think back. What did Jesus say concerning what he spoke and what he did? Well, he said, I only say what I hear the Father say. And then he goes on and says, I don't do except what I see the Father do. Now, he got that through the Word of God, finding himself in the Old Covenant. Remember in Isaiah, it said he found the place, and I would say where it talked about him. And then he talked about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Just that same Spirit that's upon in us today. But he got that through the Word, but he also got that through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that allowed him to fellowship with the Father. And saints, that is what we are to do as well. And don't be surprised if it is exceeding abundantly above and beyond what you might be asking for or what his will might be for you to accomplish. Again, we don't want to get into, well, I can't do that. That's who he's calling. He's not calling people who are able to do. He's calling people whom he can enable to do. And so we see here, we can't place limits on his will for each of us. Now, let's see what Jesus did, and then we'll ask about me. Can I do the same? Should I be doing the same? Three scriptures in this section. First is in Mark 1, verse 35, and all of these will be in New American Standard. It says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house, and he went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Now, the background to all this is the next verse. The disciples come to him and say, hey, all the people who live right here where we've been for these days are looking for you. They want you to come teach them some more. And look what Jesus said. And you see a contrast here in what God's will was and what man's will was with the disciples. Jesus said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. He didn't come just to do one thing in one place. He came so that all men in that region at that time would begin to hear of who his Father was and what his Father desired for them. And so we need to be careful that we understand that some days he may send you here, but there may be a separate will. And this is for this day, and that is something we have to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit as we fellowship with him and be able to discern and do. Also, we see that when Jesus was faced with decisions, and we each face that, a day will come upon us and we're not clear exactly as to what we ought to do. But I want you to see what Jesus did. Luke 6:12. It was at this time, what time was it? The day before, he was to name the 12 disciples. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Now, I've tried praying all night. Not very successful with it. If I start praying a long time, then particularly if I'm doing it in the Spirit, I'll end up falling asleep. That's a great way to fall asleep at night sometimes, is praying in the Spirit. But it's not important that it was all night, I don't think, for everyone. What is important is that we take that time whenever he leads us to spend time with him. Now, there have been nights when I have been awakened early in the morning to pray, and I've been able to stay up for a long period of time do so until I felt a peace that what I was praying about had been accomplished or discerned something he wanted me to do in the following day. That's what's important. And we see this became a way or a lifestyle that Jesus lived. In Luke 5:16, it says, Jesus himself, in other words, just by himself, would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Now, let me tell you what he's not saying. He's not forsaking, don't forsake corporate prayer. There's great power in that. But he's talking about things that are personal for us in this. And so he routinely did this. Why? So that he could hear and see what the Father wanted him to do. Now, all too often, I think, we treat God like we would treat another person. And it's not the way we really should treat this other person. Because what we tend to do when people are talking is to what? To listen so I can know how to respond. Or getting ready for what I'm going to say back. And we don't need to be doing that to God. We just need to be listening. And then that is when we truly hear what he wants us to do. Now let's go to John 14:12. I'm not sure we're going to get through all that I have here, but I'd like to get through these scriptures in the book of John. These scriptures, for some people, are the most exciting scriptures you can read. For others, they create absolute fear in trying to see themselves as walking in his footsteps with what it's talking about. But let's have an open heart today and let the Lord lead you to do the to hear His will for you. I don't want you to hear His will for me. I want you to hear His will for you. And so you're not going to just listen to me, but you're going to have to hear Holy Spirit talking to you. 14:12, Jesus says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, or so be it now. This is the way it is. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, the things he accomplishes, he says, he does for God, he will do also. Now that includes from the very little things to the big miracles. It says we have that ability to do that. And then he goes on and says, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Now, what did we read last week? Because Jesus went to the Father, we now possess Holy Spirit in our bodies. We are a temple for the Holy Spirit. And that is the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus. So the same Holy Spirit is with us because he went to the Father. And Jesus is saying those same works that he did are available for us to do. Now, why did Jesus do those works? So that people would learn about the Father and his love for them, so that they too could be part of the redeemed as we are. In other words, it was to show forth the Father's will and demonstrate the Father's will, to manifest the Father's will to these people. Now, what we affirm this by looking back about five verses to verse 7 in this same chapter, where Jesus is talking to his disciples and he said, if you had known me, in other words, really known who I am and what I'm doing, you would also have known my Father. In other words, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then he tells them, so today, since I'm telling you who I am, from now on, you do know him. In other words, you're going to see him because you're seeing me. But who does he say they saw? The Father. So they saw the Father in him. Now in verse 9, two verses later, Philip has come to him and said, well, show us the Father. And then he really instructs Philip. Now I'm going over these so that we can see that this same will is for us to demonstrate to others who the Father is. And he says to him, have I been with you so long and yet you still have not come to know me, Philip? And he says what I just said before. He who has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, I am manifesting the will of my Father in my life, in everything that I do, in every word that I say. And he concludes by saying, how can you say, show us the Father? So these acts were doing what? Demonstrating his loving kindness, the Father's loving kindness to man. Now you got to remember, Jesus and the Father are one, so they shared that. But it's important because Jesus is now here on the earth. He was displaying the nature of God's ways, of God's love, that love that I think is the atmosphere of heaven. And in doing so, he was first representing the Father to the people. But let's take that word representing and put a dash between RE and the rest of the word. What Jesus was doing was representing who he knew the Father was to the people. Beloved, that is our job today, to represent. Now, how well did Jesus do this? Perfectly. Because he always did what the Father said and what he saw him doing. He experienced God's love, his goodness completely, just like we're to do. So we could literally say Jesus proved the will of God on this earth. So if we're to represent Jesus to mankind, how do we do it? Doing his will for our life. And all of us together, I believe, make up the will of God that Jesus did. But we each play a different role in that today. If he perfectly demonstrated it, then when we together all do our job, then the world will see the Father. But we don't want to limit ourselves and say that some of the miraculous is not for us. Because we just saw Jesus said it was. Now, listening to the Holy Spirit, reading the commandments to us in the Word, and also His commandment to us, which is His will, of do not fear. Because some of these things may cause us to tremble when we think, when we get the revelation that we're to step out and do this. You may have your knees knocking, but if you're confident in your heart you heard it, you'll continue to step out. And then what we're doing is to do what? To prove the will of God while we're on this earth. Now, Jesus goes on in verse 13 and 14 of that chapter and says, whatever you ask, that word literally can mean demand or draw from a deposit of, in my name, that will I do, so that what? The Father may be glorified in the Son. So now we got to understand that everything we do, which is the will of God, brings glory to the Father. Now, as I'm speaking that, I'm hearing the Lord say that's why He's teaching it, because my church isn't bringing glory to me in all things that they do. Now, that's not, I'm not saying this to you. I'm saying this to myself as well. 14 goes on and says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, obviously it has to be according to His will, because He's not going to do something against His will. He can't. He would be lying then, and that's not in Him. But this is so that people will believe who He is, believe the love for Him, and receive that love to receive Him as their Savior. Now, I'm saying, talking about love, and so I want to read verse 15 with you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, what is that contrasted to? Versus loving myself and this flesh more than the Lord, and telling me what His plan for me is my life. You know, so many people talk about being a self-made man. I don't want to be that. Or go do your thing. I don't want to do that. I only want to do what He says. And what is the motivation for all that? Me responding to His great love. So let me conclude by saying this. Verse 12 about doing the works that I do is not disconnected from verse 15. Neither is 13 and 14 disconnected from 15. We are simply representing who the Father is to the world by saying what we hear and by doing that which we see, or which is revealed to us as part of His will. Because I have that revelation, I won't run around unconstrained. I'll be simply focused on the love of God and making sure that everything I do in my life points people to the Lord. Now, we've all fallen short about that. Don't go have a pity party. There are things that we all need to just repent of and confess and turn away from it and go. And that's where we're going to unplug today. When we are focusing on this relationship with Jesus, focusing on His love for God so that we're not driven by how well we think we love Him, then that's when we can be willing and obedient as we love Him, as we receive from Him. And then what does Scripture say? What did Jesus say to His disciples? Freely you have received, and I'll just add, my love. Therefore, go give my love. Now, next week, we're going to continue on in some things we do in order to walk in His will. And you'll see that we can prove this in our lives to ourselves first, and then so that others can see it. Love you guys. Again, thank you for joining with us, and just meditate on this. We don't want to be an unconstrained people. We want to be single-minded, focused on His love. And then everything else will fall into the right place. Thanks for joining us today. Quite an honor for you to be here.